If there is any place in the American West that I have a connection with, it would be El Camino del Diablo, the Devil's Highway. The highway started as a footpath, first traversed by Native Americans, leading from waterhole to waterhole across the vast dry desert. The highway was introduced to me by my father when I was a teenager. The part that is mostly traveled is from Yuma, Arizona to Lukeville, south of Ajo, Arizona. The best time to travel the highway is in the spring, when most everything is in bloom. Winter, it can get below freezing. Fall, you don't know if it'll rain or won't rain. And summer is just too buggin' hot to be out there. Leaving out of East Yuma, you go straight south till you come to one of many dirt roads. These aren't the original route, but with so much traffic over the years, all you have to do is pick one and stay on it following the mountains. I like to take the one that heads over to Fortuna Mine right off. This is the first of many places to get out and explore. I haven't found any gold here, but in the past I've heard of others doing so. You can see where some of the buildings were laid out and placed next one to another by the remnants of small pieces of wall and foundations. While there, I like to go over to an old vent shaft that was dug for the mine and toss rocks down it to count the cars that are in it. You might ask yourself, how do you count the cars by tossing rocks in this mine? It's pretty simple, you see. If you toss the rock just right, you can hear it bang and clank off all the cars in the hole. As the rock falls, there are spaces between the sounds, and that's what I count. I have heard that the vent was used for body dumping in the past, maybe even today. I can remember when I was a teenager reading in the paper that the sheriff's department sent some men down to look for a body of a person that was missing. When they got in there, they were not prepared for what they had found. The body they were looking for, plus some more skeletons. Well, enough of this gruesome tale. From the mine, I leave out through a canyon that opens into a big wash, covered with brush and trees. Some people would say that there really isn't much to see. But if you look close enough, you spot a collared lizard sitting on a rock, sunbathing, cocking its head as it watches you pass by, or the red-tailed hawk flying overhead, looking forward to its next meal, watching a jackrabbit running ahead of you from bush to bush. Off to one side is a burrowing owl, popping its head out to see what all the commotion is about. Driving the half hour to hour to our next stop is a good time to take in the scenery or talk with those who are with you. Well, here's a dilemma what to do. There's a fork in the road. To the left will take us through the Soprano Pass. The pass is a rugged, rough road, not for the light at heart traveler or those with low clearance four-wheel drives. This is the way I go. Not that the other isn't any fun. I just prefer going through the pass. The views that one gets going up and through the pass are unimaginable, with different outcroppings of granite and the valley you just came out of looking back into Mexico. Once through the pass, it's not much further to Tenajas Altas, the next stop on my journey. What is Tenajas Altas? The high tanks, you ask? They are granite tanks in a canyon going up the mountain, carved out over the millennia. There are 9 tanks in all, stacked one atop another, each roughly the size of a VW bug. When you climb up the tanks, you have to stop now and then to catch your breath, as it's a pretty steep grade. This is a good time to take a good look at the surroundings down on the canyon floor. I see there is a large granite boulder with holes ground into it from the Indians that would frequent the location and grind the grains they had. The path up to the tanks takes you past an overhang. Upon a closer look, you'll see petroglyphs. Whoever put them there had to be skinny and small. There isn't much room for the average-sized person. From the tanks, the highway doesn't have much for terrain. Lots of creosote bush, choya cactus, and rabbit bush, with a lonesome Palo Verde or mesquite tree here or there. Along the way, if you pay attention, you'll see the graves of those who didn't complete the trip. Most of the graves don't have any identification. They were just prospectors seeking their fortune. There is, however, one group of graves that belongs to a family. From what I can recollect, they were coming west from Tucson and somehow missed Papago Well and had no water for them or their horses, even though it was in the fall. This is just a reminder of how harsh the desert can be. One nice thing is that for most of the portion of this trip, you can drive hands-free. The highway has been rutted out deep enough that vehicles don't have to be steered. The road just guides you along. Cutting across the desert, we come to Bates Well. Today, this well still has water in it, though many people are surprised to find this. There is still a windmill here that even works, an old steel tank, and a small building. Other than that, there isn't much here but a bunch of trees sucking up the water that spills out from the tank. Not knowing what is out here can be the difference of life and death. This usually is a quick stop, but if one were to spend the night on this trip, this would be a good place for it. Well, I'm coming to the end of my trip with one last stop at the spring at Lukeville. This portion of the trip is one of the most beautiful of all. There are rugged red and green mountains with canyons that are full of copper, arroyos that are filled with different desert vegetation, and animal life. While out here, I've seen a family of javelina, Thompson gazelle, mule deer, and even the illegal trying to stay out of the heat. Here we are at Lukeville Spring, about an acre of water surrounded with cottonwoods, cattails, and lush green grass. I haven't had the time to study the life around here. By the time we got here, my dad was tired and ready to go. I just hope that I'll have the time and opportunity with my children to stay and learn about the area. It's amazing that a place so arid, vast, and hostile could support so much life. I can see why the Spanish that came across here named it what they did, and why they found a better route to take rather than El Camino del Diablo.